Okay, well, let's pray. Lord, we are just appreciative that we have a community like this, the body of Christ, universal. Lord, to hear these stories, how you work, the people who just, they don't even know someone and they reach out with that kind of sacrifice and time and money. So we're thankful for that. And we pray that we would be that. We certainly experience that in this class, or that is not something that we can, that we've crafted here, Lord, that comes from your Holy Spirit. We just experience it, Lord, and we thank you so much for that. And I pray that that would continue to be a spirit, throughout the church and in this class. Lord, we do thank you for this church, and, we do pray for Randy and for the team, Lord, for Dan, Randy, Sandy, and the way they've again, with sacrifice to spend time doing, the work to help our church as we go into this transition. And, Father, we know that the enemy would not want Briarwood to thrive, and yet you do. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be faithful and to encourage each other, Lord, and look to you. And just be ready to do great things with the next phase of Briarwood Church, Lord, to just serve your kingdom. It is zero about Briarwood, Lord. It is about your kingdom. And so we thank you. And again, pray for Randy and his strength. And just as he makes sacrifices away from his family, all of those things, away from his other work, we just pray for encouragement and strength, clarity, wisdom, and all of those things. Father, we are thankful for this class and Lord, the love that we get, from so many in this class. Lord, we do pray for Sam and for, we're so thankful for he and Beth and how they shepherd us, love us, keep up with all the stuff. And, so we're thankful for that. Pray for, healing, for the surgery to be successful and for you to minimize the pain and just give great encouragement to Beth and to Sam, Lord. Help us to help them. Father, we thank you for our time this morning for Jim Carlson, he and Bingham, their love again for you, for the church, for their family, and for Jim's willingness to use the gift of teaching that you've given him to serve you and to serve us. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Come on, I'll put you on. Peggy, can you help him?
You were too big,
man. I'm handing out an outline, and don't let it scare you. It's about 8 pages long, but I'm not going to cover all of it. But I would like to hit a few highlights, and we'll just talk our way through it. I called John Tuesday night because I wanted to find out what the deal was with Sam and Beth, because he was supposed to go in, I think, Tuesday, and we had ice on the roads. And so we talked about Sam and Beth for a while, and then we chatted about some other things, and we finished talking, and he said, "Can you teach Sunday?" He did not tell me Randy Pope and John Curry were going to be here again. Well, I'm now sweating bullets. So I thought about some things I'd taught in the past, and about 20 years ago, I started in Genesis and went through Revelation, and I was flying on a lot of airplanes, so I carried my Bible with me, and I wrote down every verse that mentioned prayer, praying, pray, and verses that alluded to prayer but didn't mention it specifically. And I ended up with 80 pages of verses. And so I cut them in ribbons and spread them out on a farm table and kind of put them in categories. And so I thought, well, there was a category, why do we pray at all? There were a bunch of verses on that. And how do I approach a God who created the universe. How do I praise him appropriately? And then I thought, how do I offer up thanksgiving to this God? And then I thought, I probably ought to cover confession of sin, praying for others, and praying for myself, finally. And so I parked for this morning on what Scripture says about praying for others. This is a praying class. And I looked at Samuel 1:12. He says, the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I thought about that. I thought, we have this thing called prayer, which is an incredible weapon. It's like a sword that sits in a sheath or a scabbard and is oftentimes never drawn. To never do battle with it. Or sometimes we draw it out partway and we pray in generalities and we check that box off. We covered that person, we covered this project or whatever it is. But oftentimes we never pull it fully out so it's fully powerful. And it's a weapon that we ought to use. And then I thought, well, why do we pray for other people? It's because we have an invitation. And we see Paul in 1 Thessalonians talking about all of the stuff he's faced with. He's faced with sufferings. He's faced with affliction. He's faced with the enemy, Satan, who is attacking him. And at the end of this book, he says, pray for me. That's all. And sometimes that's what we get from people. It's just, will you pray for me? But what Paul has said, done here is he has talked about the things that he's suffering from or the things that he's facing. And so when he says, pray for me, we know how to pray for him intellectually because he's laid it out for us. And sometimes we get this request to pray for me. And I don't know of any time I've ever said, nope, I ain't doing that. I'm not praying. I always say yes. But then I forget. And I've gotten into a practice, and this doesn't work every time. I just like to pray with somebody right there on that spot. And sometimes it's not very convenient. And sometimes it's a little awkward. People are walking by and you're huddled up praying in the middle of someplace. And sometimes it doesn't work out, but I've kept my commitment because I said I would pray and I do it right then. The amazing thing about it is that when I've done that, I'm standing in the shower one day and that person comes to my mind. Or I'm driving down the road and that person comes to my mind because I've already prayed. Well, what lengths do we go to pray? Found some verses in Colossians 4. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always struggling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. When he's talking about wrestling, he's talking about laboring fervently, earnestly seeking God on another's behalf. And Paul writes in Romans 15, join me in my struggle, praying to God for me, struggling to strenuously lay hold of something. And what I like about what Paul says, join me in my struggle, but here's what I need. So he gives some specifics. He says, pray that I may be rescued from unbelievers in Judea, and secondly, that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. We get this request a lot to pray for us or pray for me. The most important thing I do when I get that request is to listen. But I, with permission, like to drill a little bit deeper. I hear you generally what you're asking for, but can you be more specific about what it is that you're wanting prayer for? And then I can pray more intellectually. Now, here's something I think you ought to try when you make the commitment and you pray, is go back to them sometime later and say, how's that thing I've been praying about? How's it going? You would be surprised how surprised they are that you are still praying for them. And it sends a message, well, when I ask this brother, this sister to pray, they're going to do it. Well, how often do we pray? In 2 Timothy, I thank God as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. And then in Romans 1, how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, praying without ceasing. We are commanded to pray. We are commanded to pray constantly and without ceasing. But I love this sleeper at the bottom of page 1, Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep praying for the saints. I like that. And I gotta get my phone. But I like that word, alert. And what it says to me is, what in the world is going on around me? And I work part-time. My wife calls it a jobette. And sometimes we need to be alert about what's going on around us, because if we take the initiative when we're alert, we don't know what doors it might open. In this part-time job, I've gotten to know a lady, and she has two girls, and one of them's in Canada. And I have heard for months that this one in Canada is going to have twins. And so she says, I'm a Catholic, and I'm really concerned about my daughter and these twins. And finally, I got an email the other day. She needed somebody to cover her job on Sunday. And I don't work on Sundays, but I thought, I can go to Sunday school and church. I can provide a service for her in this situation, because these kids were coming. And so she got on a plane and took off. And I sent her this text. I said, good morning, so-and-so. Hope you are safely in Canada. Praying for your daughter and the safe and healthy delivery of God's gift to your family. I don't know where she is spiritually, but that was an open door to being alert to what's around me. It says, oh, Jim, this text means so much to me. I can't thank you enough for your prayers. I don't know what kind of conversation we'll have when she comes back from Canada, but that door is open. And so I walked into work one day and I asked this other gal that I work with, I said, have you heard from so-and-so about these twins? And she said she just had them Monday morning. And I get up at 4:30. There's some habits you just can't break. And it's dark, and I love it. The lights are off, no phone, I just sit in the dark. And she came to mind that Monday morning. So when I heard about it, I said, hooray, heard from so-and-so, the two little ones arrived safely, was praying for them early this morning. Blessings. She said, you're such a blessing to me. They're great. Thanks for praying. And what should we pray for these others? Sometimes we just don't know. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wake up all night long now. But sometimes I get a name. It just comes to me. And I think that's God's prompting, that I need to pray for that person. And I'll bet some of you have experienced this same thing. When you have prayed for somebody in the middle of the night and you didn't know what to pray for, that person has come back and mentioned a struggle or something that was happening in their life. And you connect the dots and you can say, I was praying for you at that same moment. Romans 8, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with great groans that words cannot express. And who are these others that we pray for? Scripture tells us we're to pray for those who persecute us. We're to pray for those who mistreat us. Pray for those who mistreat us. We can pray for our enemies and those who mistreat us. And Scripture provides some extreme examples. Nothing like what we experience. But Stephen in Acts 7, while being stoned, says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And we know in Jesus' situation in Luke 23, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. When we pray for our enemies and we pray for the people who mistreat us, we are praying for people who are standardless. They don't have a standard. They're building the superstructure of their life on a pile of sand. And we pray for them. It's hard. I'm not saying that's easy. It's hard to pray for enemies and people who mistreat us. But what I've noticed is when I do it, when I'm obedient and I do it, it changes my attitude towards that person. We're to pray for those in authority. I'll just skip across a couple of these. Those in prison. How many times have you been asked to pray for somebody in prison? They're out of sight, out of mind, and we just forget. And then what about the people who are in prison, not in a physical confine, but they're imprisoned or captivated or enslaved by some sin, some addiction? We say yes, and then we forget. We need to remember to pray for them. And then look at this wonderful progression at the top of page 3 in Acts 12:5. Peter is in prison, and the church has earnestly prayed to God for him. They have not forgotten him. They've been consistently praying for him, unceasingly praying for him. And then in Acts 12, look what happens. Peter gets out of jail and goes to Mary's house to find what? Many people gathered and were praying. Now, I've made a whole list of these others that we can pray for. You can read for them yourself. Probably the most important one for me would be my mate, my children, and then it progresses down even to people who hold us accountable. We need to pray for those spiritual giants as well because they can fail. But as you look at this list, and I was looking at these verses, will we be like Peter? Find us faithful, constant, fervent, as we struggle and wrestle on these individuals' behalf. Will the people that we need to pray for find us faithful, struggling in prayer for them? And what do we pray for this mass of others? And I want to pray some or read some of the excerpts, some of the highlights, and then we'll wrap it up where I'm headed with this. Starting with our Christian brothers and sisters, what do we pray for our Christian brothers and sisters? In 2 Thessalonians, by his power, he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. In Colossians 1, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. Ephesians 1, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. May the Lord direct your hearts in God's love and Christ's perseverance. 2 Thessalonians, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Ephesians 3, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. And then I pray that you might grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then things like grant you strength in Philippians 1, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Christ. Do we pray that way for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we use that terminology? I think this is language that God understands. we can pray these kind of things for our brothers and sisters. I think it's analogous to how do we praise God? I remember years ago, I was 19, early 20s, I used to say, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for being the wonderful God that you are. And then I didn't know where to go from there. That was it. And when I did this study from Genesis to Revelation, I found verses that I can pray. You are my God, and I love you. You are my strength and my song. Your right hand has shattered the enemy. You're majestic in holiness. You're awesome in glory. You work wonders, and your love is unfailing. Learning how to praise God through Scripture. This is language that he understands. Praying for our brothers and sisters, like these verses I read excerpts from, is knowledge that God understands. We can pray Scripture back. It's better than we can conjure up ourselves. God's people generally, forgive the sin of your people. Teach them the right way to live. I thought about these verses and I thought, boy, we need to pray for our brothers and sisters. A lot of them don't go to churches that are faithful to the gospel. A lot of them don't have the opportunity to go to a church like we go and get the kind of preaching that we get. And so we need to pray for the people of God, maybe in these weaker situations, that they would be faithful, that they would not sin, they would not turn away, and they would not allow the culture to influence their lives. For dear brothers and sisters that are going through difficult times or are in difficult places, I just want to touch on a few of these. But I thought of this Luke 22, which is so applicable, I think, to our class. It says, Jesus says to Simon, 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 Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Some of you have daughters and sons and now grandchildren that are in the military. Do we pray that their faith would not fail? We have children and grandchildren that are going to secular colleges and universities. Are we praying that their faith would not fail? We have people in our class who have been treated for cancer and have miraculously recovered and been cured, but we also have folks in our congregation that have terminal cancer. We pray for their health, but do we pray that their faith would not fail? And we know people who've lost their jobs, their financial obligations are building. Do we pray for more than just a job, or are we praying that their faith would not fail? And of course, at the bottom of five, we pray that God would equip our brothers and sisters to do his will. And then we pray in 2 Corinthians that you will not do anything wrong. Our prayer is for your perfection. And I thought about these verses and I thought, do we pray for our brothers and sisters, our children and our grandchildren, that in their lives they would experience a trend towards obedience, a trend towards righteousness? And there's several examples down through here, but I want to park on Psalms 34, 18 to 20. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. I got a call one Saturday morning, probably 20 years ago. I had a client that I've been working for almost 30 years. And she called me on a Saturday morning. Odd to get a call on a Saturday morning at the office. That's why you're there. Nobody's bothering you. And I get this call. And this woman on the other end begins to share with me that her senior daughter, who was excited about going to college, had just taken her life. And so I'm on the other end of the phone, and I'm thinking, what am I going to say? And probably the best thing that I did was keep my mouth shut and just listen. Sometimes people just need somebody to listen when they get in these difficult situations. And so when we finished the conversation, I thought, there's nothing that I can humanly say that would bring any hope or help here. And so I just asked her, I said, can I pray with you? And I just prayed, you know, our Heavenly Father will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He binds up the brokenhearted. He comforts all those who mourn and provide for all those who grieve. I think that was the best thing I could pray, right out of scripture. You run into a young lady who's not married, and she's contemplating an abortion, which we celebrated today, life. And you have this opportunity to talk to them. You can try and talk them out of it. You can do your best, humanly speaking. But we can pray for them, can't we? Say, can I pray with you? Can I pray Psalms 139? That this child that you have is fearfully and wonderfully made. This is a child that God knew before conception and called this child by name. And suddenly you just see the change in this young woman's life because you're praying life into her life. You're praying scripture into her life, into her situation that involves that child that she's thinking about terminating. But what about those who are in prison? Isaiah 6 also covers those same things from Psalms 34. You bind up the brokenhearted, you claim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners. Those who are in physical captivity, but he also frees those who are enslaved to a wide variety of sins and are captives and are no longer free. We pray for our children. Page 8. I've heard a lot of prayers. Please help Billy to make the baseball team. And it sure would be great if he could play first base. And Susie would like to be a cheerleader, and she sure would like to be. Oh, could she be a cheerleader, a head cheerleader? And those are great prayers for our children. So those are bricks in the wall, aren't they, in the child's development. But now we have grandchildren, and we've had children. And do we pray for our children that they would grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man? Do we pray what Solomon prayed and give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees? And sometimes as our kids are traveling down the road, they're going to college or whatever, and we just pray, would you put a hedge around them? We don't know what they're going to encounter, but God understands what hedge making is all about. And he's going to take care of them just simply praying that. And then it says in Psalm 61, appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. God understands what that means. We may not know the full ramifications of what that means, but we're dead certain we're going to pray for that child, that grandchild. We can pray this on their behalf. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. What a great prayer for our children and our grandchildren today. One Friday, I was driving somewhere on some case. I don't remember what it was. And so Bingham called me while I was traveling. And she said, I'm going to pray for you. She says, this is what her prayer, that I would love others with God's heart, that I would increase and abound in knowledge and depth of insight with respect to God's love for others. I thought she just made this up. She just got lucky. It comes right out of Philippians 1. She was praying and breathing scripture over the phone to this knucklehead that's driving down the road. What a great blessing to have somebody pray scripture and not just what they could make up. She was praying scripture, which God understands. I asked John if I could start early because I like to hear you speak. And if you don't talk, you get to leave early, and that may be motivation for clamming up. But I thought about, I'd like to know what this class has experienced as far as praying for others. And here are the questions. How has prayer for others affected you personally? The second one to consider is, what kind of responses have you gotten from those for whom you have prayed? And then finally, what in your prayer life has motivated you to pray all the more? Phones are open.
And be sure to speak up really loud.
Speak up loudly. Yes. Why don't you stand up?
I love listening to you. I could sit here once a year for days.
Okay, we're done.
Your prayers are answered.
Well, you, oh, go ahead.
I love to pray. I always have. And I mean, I'm like you. I wake up early and I wake up during the night. And I mean, something how people get through the world, get through their day without praying. It to me is a vital aspect of life. Is there a certain book or something that you cling to about prayer that you like? I would love to get deeper into prayer.
The Bible is the number one, I would suggest an old book that was written a long time ago. It was given to me in 1975. It's E.M. Bounds' Power Through Prayer. Great book. And what you'll find, and I've alluded to this before, is these fellows that are written up in that book pray for 3 to 5 hours a day before they started their day. I thought that's absolutely impossible. And I started just praying while I was driving down the road. And these judges in Mobile would set a hearing for 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's a 4-hour drive. So I'd get in my car and I would travel down to Mobile. And in the winter, it's dark. And you get down to Evergreen, you may see a farm light bulb here and there, but it's straight, dark. And so I began to pray for people as God brought them to my attention. But then there would be miles of travel where I said nothing. And I think he awakens us early in the morning so we can listen. And I think that's how these guys prayed so long. They would pray, then they would listen. And God would bring certain people to their mind or certain situations to their mind. And then they'd pray a little bit more. I know some of you play instruments early in the morning to just get your mindset right. I listen to Fernando Ortega. I don't listen to the ones with the words. He's got a couple pieces that are just musical. And I just sit in the dark at 4:30, no lights on, and I'll play a couple of songs, and it gets me to where I'll pray. Because oftentimes, I'm really not interested in praying very long. And so it gets me in that mode and helps me a lot. So I would recommend E.M. Bounds or other books on prayer. And some of you may have some. Or E.M. Bounds, Power Through Prayer. But there are many other books, and that's just the first one that comes to my mind. Anybody else? Yes.
I'll suggest a book that answers your question. I use it all the time. It's Ken Boa is the author, and it's Handbook to Prayer.
Handbook to Prayer.
And it'll take each aspect of prayer, whether it be Thanksgiving or confession, whatever, and it just prays scripture for you. Just read the scriptures, and it'll put them in as if you're praying. And it is so helpful.
Praying out loud is good. I had to pray yesterday or signed up to pray for Lampstand or whatever it was. And I was just walking around my house doing things, but I was praying instead of just sitting and praying. But I prayed out loud, and I think that's good.
I think it keeps you focused, and Pastor Reeder has mentioned this over the years. Praying out loud keeps our mind active and on track, because when you pray, the enemy will try and encroach in that territory, and your mind will wander in other directions. So praying out loud is very helpful. Good point. Clark?
You know, I think your one point, one thing I've learned a long time ago was to pray regularly with a person. And even if you don't know that they're a Christian, every time that I've said, can I pray for you, the answer is always Jesus. And they, you know, because really at the heart of the human soul, there's a void.
That's right.
And so when you do that, it's just an intro and you don't know where it's going to go. You may not go anywhere, but on that one moment, you know, God came down.
I have a friend I fish with. We go in April for some strange reason. It snows and it's not a good time to go, but nobody else is fishing. So we go to a local restaurant. We try and eat one hot meal a day. Anyway, the rest is junk we're eating during the day. But we go to a little mountain town cafe, and he will always sitting there. He says, "We're about to ask a blessing on the food that you just served. Is there anything we can pray for you?" And we've had people open up and share things they probably would never share with anybody else. But you're right, Clark. That door opens.
Jim, your message is rather providential this morning because I'd like to, if you want to pray, amen. Saturday morning, 7 o'clock in the building that overlooks, you know, down by the Carolina House or up by the Carolina. It's formerly the Barker Prayer Breakfast is now the Men's Prayer Breakfast is taking their number.
What time? 7 a.m. on Saturdays.
It was in the program last week.
That's a carry over your dad's prayer breakfast. Anyone else? Yes, Dad?
I wanted to echo about, you know, when people ask you for prayer. I know that one of the Sunday school teacher kind of challenged that is that if somebody asks you to pray, make sure you do that. Don't just say, yes, I will pray for you, and then walk away. So, and I have good memory, except it's very short. So what happened is that when people ask me to pray, as soon as they done, then I start a little prayer for them. Because then I don't forget. Because at least then I pray for them once. And I'm hoping that down the road that I will pray for them more. One of the things that I learned is that, you know, this is through myself. So I had surgery last summer. And after the surgery, you know, of course a lot of people were praying for me. So after the surgery, then I thought I recovered. But it ended up that when I got home that I had a lot of gas and all that. And whatever medication I was taking wasn't working. But a few people came, kind of text me and say that, how am I doing? You know, anything I can pray for you. So I was able to update them about what the situation is. And so they prayed for me. And I have to say that after they prayed for me and God gave me some preparation or something, that I changed my course and that took care of it. So that is really, you know, I really appreciate people who follow up because is that you pray for somebody, but that's not necessarily everything is all done, you know, well. But if you pray, follow them up, then people will kind of know, okay, exactly what is your specific need, then they can pray for you accordingly.
Yeah, that's a great point, Ed. I always ask for permission. I said, can you tell me more? I think there's more here. What do you feel free to share? I'd like to pray more intelligently for you, not just in generalities. But yeah, way back. Don?
One of the things I've been trying to teach my students is to remember things. Their memory's not very good when they're a freshman in high school.
I have no hope at all then.
By looking at 1 Thessalonians, that Paul actually gives us memory device. Thanksgiving. He says, in Thanksgiving, we mention a particular group of people. In Thanksgiving, we remember a particular group. And the word is from the Greek word for mnemonic, which is the science of memory. So in giving thanks, it's being our memory. And what is he thankful about? He's thankful about their faith, their love, and their steadfastness of hope. And also the fact that their witness is going out. So if you think about all the things that Paul's calling us to do in prayer, it's a great memory device.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. I can't go into the details, but I was praying for somebody this year who is kind of a Hail Mary Christian. Mm-hmm. When things really get bad, then we start praying. But when things get better, it calms down, then there's no spiritual dimension at all. And so I was praying for this person and miraculously came out of the sickness. And so I called back and I said, how are things going? And I learned the miracle had just been performed. I said, we need to pray again. And she said, we do. I said, yeah. Now we need to thank God for that. remembering that answer. Anybody else? Yeah.
I was just, when you were asking about specific answers to prayer that then encourage you, I have just, there are prayers that I have prayed for my children, and having seen God, like one of our daughters walked away from the Lord, and watching God answer specific prayers and bring her to Him is such an encouragement. When another one walks away from the Lord, that you can keep doing it. I just tell one specific thing for one of my sons. I just constantly pray that he's a brilliant young man and reads everything out there, but he wasn't studying God first. And so that was one of my prayers for him every day, that God would bring him to treasure His Word and to study His Word. And, you know, you pray that for years and you don't have any idea what God's doing. And one day, just sitting there, talking with his wife, and she said, you know, he was never a quiet time kind of guy, but, something's happened to him and he's like so into studying God's Word every day. I'm not sure what it was. And I said, oh, I am. But it was just like, he didn't have to tell me, but it was such a passion that he said, I hear your words. I hear those prayers, treasuring them. And I'm going to let you know that I'm in the Word in ways.
And when we pray these verses that I was reading, you know, the words that we don't commonly use, but God understands what they mean, the ramifications of them, and we just pray them and He takes care of it. What a great testimony. Bingham?
John, what is that scripture in
Thessalonians?
First Thessalonians
1.
Thanks.
Anybody else? Andy?
Yeah. First, I agree with your morning. In the morning, starting out your day that way, and I like to use Psalms as a framework for prayers, for instance, and you know, like Psalm 32, blessed is the man whose iniquity does not count against him, you know. The Father, that forgiveness is the problem, that Jesus did the problem. You work your way through a psalm of praise that you work through it. Or, I think it's very effective. And, trying to think of something to pray about, I found that using a psalm as a framework, and, or even different psalms, is very helpful.
Yeah. Get your mind in the right frame of mind, I guess. Focus.
Yeah, Jim.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yes.
I have always had a hard time being consistent in prayer.
Can you speak up and stand up?
Somebody a while ago gave me several years ago, a calendar, like 31 days to have faith. So I started doing that. You get a lot. I just started doing that at the end of my time. And just, I would write down the conditions on my kids and their spouses and their grandkids, my grandchildren. And just every day, pray one thing. So I know I'm praying, you know, God bless the day. I'll give you that lead to other things. Yeah.
Yeah, it creates a pattern or a habit and some structure.
Donna Evans in our church had the same thing. 31 ways to pray for your children. If you've been in your Bible study and in the scripture.
This is a praying class, you said, and my most recent example is Charlie Baldwin. There's Charlie. God gives me chill up. I just got a text from him yesterday asking about, our daughter, our youngest daughter, who's struggling with her relationship with the Lord. And this is a prayer request that I shared at a Wednesday noon Bible study, the Men of the Covenant thing. Months ago.
In Sunday private.
Oh, and I said it also.
Yeah, because she was going down to visit with
him. Yes. Oh, yeah. So thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, how did it go?
So precious. You know what? The Lord, I feel like it went well. he's got to open one up. And that's all he can do. But, what I'm learning so much is, number one, pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. And that God, you know, just daily, I'm just reminded, this is the trial that God has chosen for me and for Tim, you know, for our family. Like, it is, it's his beautifully anointed, chosen trial for us, and he can even use her sin to work in me. And then in his timing, I'm trusting that he will go after that lost sheep because he's a good shepherd.
Yeah, right.
You know? I have a daughter that, her brother's here quite in there. We just moved out of the job. And she has not yet come to church. And, I struggle with that. She's a Christian. And I don't doubt that. So, she's, you know, I have more of those emotional items, it's her attitude. But the other day, I just thought, it was 8 o'clock in the morning, and I just thought, I'm going to put a stuff down. So I said, hey, Mom, did you got a second? And I just did a real quick prayer. And that was it. It's real quick. And I just said, I love you. Have a great day. I went to know. And I just felt so good. And I think she felt good. And it was just subtle. Just real subtle. And every now and then, you know, I don't do it every day. And I don't hammer it. And I just think the subtlety of it will be helpful. You know, you just... I think it means a lot.
Thank you. One more thing is, several years ago, I was struggling with something, and I knew several other mamas in this class were. And so I just sent them a letter and just said, you know, I would love to start a prayer group of just 5 or 6 moms that I know are struggling with this certain, you know, issue as well. And we started to get together. One of them was named Thomas, so she doesn't struggle with anything. But, I'm kidding.
She had such great kids. So really.
That wasn't an issue. But no, honestly, it was the most beautiful hour of my week just to be on our knees together, weeping together, and praying for children that weren't walking.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, such an encouragement. So that.
Good stuff.
And look what happened, John.
Still praying. See you.
You have one more. I'll take one more, and we got to wrap because I don't want you to miss Sandy. Go ahead.
I would say that prayer on human levels really helps me to get to know that person, you know, and make me feel closer. Like it's a huge class, and sometimes it's rough coming out. I don't know everybody. They grow here, and the more I pray,
it's so that's a wonderful, yeah, very, that's a good way to conclude. And let's go ahead and close because I know we've got to get to the service. If you haven't been to the 8 o'clock service, the 11 o'clock is going to be as good as the 8 o'clock. It was fantastic. So, Father, we thank you for your presence with us here right now. And we thank you that you have admonished us to be constantly in prayer and to never cease praying. Thank you that we can pray your word back to you. You understand what your words mean, and they're so powerful, so much more powerful than what we can conjure up. And we thank you that your son Jesus intercedes on our behalf, and when we don't know what to pray, he does. And Father, we just thank you.
Why did I do this?
Word. And for the way in which it sheds light on how
just
we
just lollygagging around.
And Father, give us wisdom to know how to pray, what to pray, and may we be found faithful in Jesus' name. Amen.